Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Artist Donna Corey Gibson with Anima Christie. And we got with us Gregory. How are you doing today, tonight? Gregory? Oh, wait. I'm calling. But I also got Kathy from Missouri. How you doing there, Kathy?
Hi, Donald. Doing good.
Outstanding. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. See, thank you so much. As Gomer Powell used to say, thank you. All right. And we got Gregory. Gregory, we got Kathy with us. And we got on the on-deck circuit, we got Doc from Tennessee. So how are you doing there, Greg?
I am doing better than wonderful. Yeah, I get excited on these nights when we bring in the Eucharistic miracles, and I don't know how the whole world already converted once they get into the Eucharistic miracles. And I would suggest everyone out there, share them with your family and those you love, your family and friends and those you love, because they...
Amen.
They have been instrumental in so many people converting and reverting Catholic Church, which is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the Bride of Christ. And,
amen to that.
We have Kathy, who is definitely a warrior. I know when she set up her program down at her place. It just surprised me so much because it's a little out-of-the-way place. But they had standing room only, and the priest himself got up and got chairs. People came in. He got more, well, then he got up again, got more chairs for people coming in. I think he got up like three different times and just make sure everybody was seated, and then we still had standing room only in that location, and it was just an awesome feeling, you know. So, Kathy, you give me great memories. God bless you, girl.
Yeah, that was a great – people are still talking about. And they remember me, and I don't know them, and they're like, oh, you're Kathy Butt in that relic tour. I was like, well, that was Greg, but yeah.
Well, you know,
it was good.
Kathy, at my last Catholic conference that I spoke at, I was awarded the humble badge. You know, they gave me the badge of humility. But you know what they did there, Kathy?
What? Maybe a swollen head?
They took it away from me because I wore it. So there you go. My badge of humility. Well, that's, you know, but, you know, the Lord has, I mean, we love the Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Mother Mary. And we love you, St. Joseph. And we love you, our guardian angels. And tonight, Kathy, do you got that article in front of you? About St. Agnes?
I will have.
Praise God. Outstanding.
And did you say Doc is there also?
Doc, Hey, Doc, how you doing tonight there in Tennessee?
I'm happy and blessed, better than I deserve, sitting by a fire. I think, when you talk about a humble award, I think this show for me is a humble award. I get to walk among giants with you guys, and I just want to thank you for letting me be here.
Well, we thank you. Tell people about it. Go ahead there, Greg.
What?
Oh, I was just saying tell people about it. But go ahead, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
I would like Kathy to be the one to read the one I put together. The other one you can read, Donald. And then have Kathy read it.
I'll share that, but Kathy will share the Eucharistic miracle.
I want Kathy to do the one. Listen, I want Kathy to do the one about fetal microchimerism, okay?
I don't know if I have that of it to her. That's the thing. I don't know. I mean, I have.
Well, that was the one I put together 3 weeks ago, Don.
Well, yeah, I have it. I got it set up. But we're going to do them. We're going to do them both. We're going to do them both. All right,
there's reason behind that.
Well, that's right. Okay, but Kathy's going to be able to comment on it. So everything is going to be okay. All right, Kathy.
What one? I can't understand, Greg. What's he saying?
I said I would like you to do one because you're a lady with children. The one on fetal microchimerism. You know, and that's very powerful for mothers and children. And
oh, really?
You'll see why when we get into that. If you haven't been exposed to that yet, it's an awesome thing. I have tears every time when I think about my mother and my mother's how mothers are part of us and we're part of our mothers. So. Anyway, Don, hit her up. Let's go.
Okay there, Kathy, go ahead and start it. And I'll send you this other one. So be looking for it when we're done with this other one. So it should be coming to you in just a moment.
Okay.
Just go ahead.
I'm going to read St. Agnes first, and then I'll read the one coming.
Okay, there you go.
All right. During the life of Saint Agnes, the church emphasized the theology of the sacrament. thanks to the great masters of theology most in demand during the saint's lifetime, St. Albert the Great, St. Bonaventure, and St. Thomas Aquinas. Blessed Raymond of Capua writes, about one Sunday at dawn, St. Agnes was in the monastery's garden, kneeling before the crucifix, away from everyone, immersed in prayer. She went into such a deep state of ecstasy that continued into the night. She was still on her knees in the Olive Garden. The sun was setting when Agnes finally came out of the ecstasy and remembered that it was Sunday. Now her soul was devastated. She was profoundly remorseful for not having participated in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But as she was weeping, there appeared before her an angel offering her a consecrated host. Jesus, whom she had kept company all day in prayer, did not wish to deprive her of himself in the Eucharist. This miracle repeated itself exactly the same for 10 consecutive Sundays. Agnes, whom God wanted to guide to perfection, deserved to receive the body of Christ from the hands of an angel many times, said Blessed Raymond of Capua. The sisters gave testimony to this miracle, just as it had been related. They also testified they heard Agnes talk about it as if she was talking of the divine world. And although the saint spoke about it obscurely, the sisters from her time related the event very clearly. Miracles of the Cross. Throughout the life of the saint, our Lord Jesus would come alive on the cross during St. Agnes' ecstasies. It was during these times that he would reveal to her matters which were of great importance to her regarding her own spiritual walk in the community, life, or in the church. Very often she would levitate to the cross during her ecstasies, and it was to this crucifix which in a state of ecstasy the saint levitated, embraced, and placed her lips on Jesus' side, from the Chronicles of the Monastery. A chapel of the crucifix was built in 1557 in her church in Montepulciano, and in it was placed the crucifix that had been in St. Agnes' chapel during her lifetime. It was this crucifix that spoke many times to the saint. Before telling us illness, Agnes had been in Procino nearly 15 years when she became enraptured in one of her frequent ecstasies, listening to Jesus as he spoke to her from the miraculous cross. At this time, he prophesied a long and painful illness, which she would have to endure. As Sister Agnes continued to kneel before the crucifix, Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to her seated on a high throne surrounded by an army of angels forming a crown. The angels were singing in a marvelous harmony the Marian sequence. Vernons Rosa, Spes Humilium, Sulpitia, Spring Rose, Hope of the Humble, Benevolent, Compassionate. While contemplating the vision, her heart filled with indescribable joy. The saint's attention was suddenly drawn to the surprising demeanor of some of the angels. They were fanning Our Lady's face so as to give her relief from what appeared to be some kind of extreme heat. Agnes struggled to understand the significance of the angels fanning Our Lady, since the Virgin Mary in the glory of paradise certainly would not feel suffering or physical discomfort like cold or heat. Shortly after this mysterious vision, Agnes began to notice the first symptoms of an illness, which was affecting her limbs, and most especially her head. This illness and pain would be her companion the rest of her life until her death. The saint came to understand the full meaning of the vision, especially the part about the angels, which had left her perplexed. God, by allowing her to see the fanning of Our Lady's face, seemed to be endeavoring to tell her, "You will have to sustain the grief of a grave illness, but will have the sweet comfort of my grace. You will suffer serenely each adversity without the affliction of impatience." Taken from her biography by Blessed Raymond of Capua. The sudden appearance of the illness deeply disturbed the doctor, who immediately attempted to impose on Agnes an end to the harsh penance to which she had been subjecting herself for some time. Only the orders of the doctors and the insistence of the nuns convinced her, although unwillingly. to abandon the exhaustive fasting and instead of resting on the bare dirt to do so on a real bed. Only the understandable consolation of the nuns who awaited her quick healing helped her carry out their wishes. Life of charity. It was not mandatory for the sisters of the sackcloth to be cloistered. So there are various testimonies speaking of Agnes and the sisters maintaining a good relationship with the people in town. Whenever their presence was needed, they would always be there to offer a word of comfort and whatever type of assistance they could offer. The monastery was visited not only by benefactors and relatives who brought offerings in the form of monetary donations and food, but also by many poor people with whom the sisters willingly shared the gifts, which the good God in his providence never allowed them to be without. The end.
Wow. You know, maybe explain to the listeners that as they listen to things, maybe some language that may be a little new to them or haven't been spoken to in depth of any kind. Tell the people listening tonight what an ecstasy is, if you would, please, Kathy.
An ecstasy, according to what I understand, is when you are so deep in prayer that the world around you is no longer there and you are present with God and are enjoying a serene, like, heavenly visit, and you're just not, your body is in its position where it was, but you're not even, like, you're not conscious of what's going on around you. I actually almost fell into an ecstasy one time, just one time ever, because my life is so chaotic, I never have any quiet. But I went to adoration, and I knelt down and was concentrating on the Passion, and I was praying the rosary, and as I started to pray the carrying of the cross, I actually saw Jesus, and, like, it was dry, and I was on this dirt, and he fell, and I fell next to him, and I was, like, trying to console him, and I could, like, feel the dust, the dirt, the dry on his lips, my lips, and it was just, but then I almost fell out of the pew, and then I came out of it.
Absolutely. You know, I relate to it also, Kathy, when I had my locution. I didn't even know what a locution was, but in my locution, it was definitely what I hear described of an ecstasy. You know, so yeah, and your surroundings, you're not aware of them yourself. It's very a beautiful holiness the good Lord lets you experience with him or his mother, and it's just that's why I said once that happened, once someone has that happen with the good Lord or his mother, you're never the same.
But Kathy and Greg, would you say that this experience is breathtaking? Would you say that?
Yes.
Yeah, amen.
Because,
and also,
did you pay attention how she received the holy blood of Christ? Straight from his side.
Oh, gosh. Yes, at Mass. Hey, now, St. Catherine of Siena, who's the patroness of Europe, also experienced where an angel brought her Holy Communion. And Blessed Frederick of Regensburg also. And also at Fatima, we, you know, both Jacinta and Francisco, the angel gave the Eucharist to and the precious blood in Holy Communion.
Gave the Eucharist to Lucia and the
yep.
blood to Jacinta,
yes.
and Francisco.
Exactly.
From the side of Christ? Because it said in the that the Christ came alive on the cross and she put her lips to
yes.
the wound in his side.
Yes.
So did that
yes.
happen to the other ones or just Agnes?
Just Agnes, but there's also been where our Lord has shown or manifested himself in mass or before a priest on the cross, on the crucifix. That's happened three times. And so, these are signs that our Lord gives us to show he is truly present, body, blood, and soul and divinity in the Eucharist. That's what these miracles manifest. They're manifestations of our Lord's presence among us at Mass and in Eucharistic adoration. And so this is beautiful. And did you get that other little article that I sent you just a few minutes ago there, Kathy? It should have a picture of Father Amorth on it. I put his. Okay, go ahead and read that then.
Well, it doesn't have Father Amorth.
Should have his picture.
The one I just got is Guardian Angel Eucharistic Miracles, and it has.
Yes, and the picture right below it is Father Amorth holding up a crucifix.
Oh. I'm sorry, I didn't open it. I was looking at the picture.
You know who Father Amorth was, Kathy?
Yes, he was the lead Vatican exorcist. And he did over 70,000 exorcisms.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he was a believer in Medjugorje.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was, most certainly. And
wasn't his main thing, though, Donald.
Well, for him it was.
No, it wasn't. Go ahead.
Our Lord was. Our Lord was, but Medjugorje was, our Lord was his main thing. Well, the Lord is our main thing, too. But he was big about Medjugorje, no question about that. Okay, go ahead and read this, because that's what Greg is really.
You know what Father Amorth gave us a warning? I remember a few years ago when President Obama was president, and he was going to address our children on TV. Now, this is back when I actually had a TV where the news would come across it. Like, I had local channels and stuff. And I was like, oh, my kids ain't watching that, you know, because anything said to my kids got to come through me. Well, Father Amorth put out a warning. Don't let your children look at him. He didn't want the children to look at Obama for whatever reason. What did he know? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Hey, look at where we're at.
Hey, Greg was arrested in Notre Dame.
Satan was totally owned that guy.
Yeah.
100%.
I think Spence does.
I think he's still running things, honestly.
And Biden, too, by the way.
I don't think he's running things. I don't think he's actually that smart. He's a puppet.
Biden
just got dementia. But Obama...
Both of them are dupes of Satan.
He's the front man.
They are, but I do want Kathy to get into this because I know that Greg would like for you to read this, and I understand why he does, because your word, your sharing of it, Kathy, has more power behind it than if I read it, because if I read it, well, somebody listening to me, well, that's just another guy, okay, but they can't say that about you there, Kathy.
I don't know. Doc just called you a giant. Okay, here we go.
Whoa, before you go, because I've been praying on our radio shows daily, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much. I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. And today, or yesterday at Mass, Father introduced a couple who adopted a child. They adopted a child, and then they dedicated that, and they were thankful for my prayer that I was offering that for the life of this baby. And I'm like, wow. I mean, I'd say that.
God really loves you. He really loves you because you got to know that your prayer was answered.
Yeah.
Amen.
We talked after. It was amazing because, I mean, that the father had both the husband and wife come up and speak about their experience in adopting this child. And then they mentioned about, you know, the importance of prayer. And they asked, and they came up to me after this mass and said, you helped us get this child and save this child. And that just, golly, that just, man, it just made me feel like 10 feet tall, you know. Man, that was amazing.
Wow, that is amazing. That is,
I got
a
chance
baby was
to meet that child. I got a chance to meet that child, too. Oh, my goodness.
Just think, Donald, if you hadn't have said those prayers, that baby might not have made it.
Well, that's the implication. And I'm thankful. So I encourage everyone out there to take, and who came up with that prayer was Bishop Sheen. I got that prayer from Bishop Sheen back in the 60s and 70s, you know, way, way back when. That's where I got that prayer, and I began praying it. I've been praying that for years and years and years. And so for this to manifest itself like that.
You can go all the way back to into the 40s when you got it from Bishop Sheen.
at least the 50s. I love you there, Greg. Greg's my brother. And we kid each other a lot because, you know, we're brothers. Now, go ahead, Kathy, go ahead and read this. Yeah,
okay.
I know the 50s. I was born in 1956, the year that Johnny Cash came out with I Walk the Line, and I've been walking the line ever since. Oh, there you go. And thanks to the Catholic Church and Johnny Cash there. All right there, Kathy.
And your inmates there in Folsom Prison.
Well, anybody out there that listens to Deeper Truth, you bet. All right. No telling there.
All right. Well, they got more Jesus in the prisons than they got in the schools. So. Mary is perfect in all virtues by the grace of God, as Jesus is by his nature. I want to start this talk with a special prayer from a doctor of the church, the Memorari. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. Let's start with a talk with Satan, the father of lies, and an exorcist, and build to the fullness of truth with Jesus and Mary. The devil, in a conversation, precisely because he is master of lies, Satan is humiliated when God forces him to tell the truth. I'm stronger than God. In an interview with Urlo Magazine 2009, Father Amorth recounted, once it happened that I asked the demon why, despite his superior intelligence, he preferred to descend into hell. He answered, I rebelled against God, thus I showed that I am stronger than he is. Therefore, for them, rebellion is a sign of victory and superiority. It says, read more. Why do exorcists ask demons to reveal their names? And it goes on, I'm afraid when you use the Madonna's name. In his book, The Last Exorcist, composed of texts and various blogs, including Gloria TV and Testimonium Nunce Defidi, Father Amorth reports an entire dialogue he had in his role as exorcist with the devil. Father Amorth, what are the virtues of the Madonna that make you angriest? Demon, she makes me angry because she is the humblest of all creatures, and because I am the proudest, because she is the purest of all creatures, and I am not. Because of all creatures, she is the most obedient to God and family. Father Amorth, tell me the fourth characteristic of the Madonna that makes you so afraid of her that you are more afraid when I say the Madonna's name than when I say the name of Jesus Christ. Demon, I'm more afraid when you say the Madonna's name because I am more humiliated by being beaten by a simple creature than by him. Father Amor, tell me the fourth characteristic of the Madonna that makes you most angry. Demon, because she always defeats me, because she was never compromised by any taint of sin. During an exorcism, Father Amor remembers, Satan told me through the possessed person, every Hail Mary of the Rosary is a blow to the head for me. If Christians knew the power of the Rosary, it would be the end of me. Mary, pray for us today as your children. He who humbles himself will be exalted, that is scriptural. And the most humble creature in the universe was Mary. And she is also the most exalted before God. Mary said she is a slave to God. Totally think about what we believe about slaves. And Mary, seeking to do God's will in all he is the most humble. In fact, as one holy priest said, no one who becomes a saint can make that happen as a saint without devotion to the Blessed Virgin. Even all popes should always acknowledge Mary is greater than he, or he will never be as great as he could be. And so from the lowest to the highest in the Catholic Church, to concentrate straight to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary. For none will be as great or exalted as they could and should be without him. More on that later. What a woman, what a mother. Scientists are always trying to catch up with the supernatural. God, about 10 plus years ago, discovered fetal microchimerism, which they found that any woman that becomes pregnant, even if it does not come to term, living cells are exchanged between mother and child, and they will remain in their bodies for the rest of their lives. Ladies, you have living cells from each of your children in your body right now, and also each of your children has some of the mother's living cells in their body. In fact, some scientists say about a mother's intuition, say when you feel your mother is looking over your shoulder, she's actually in your shoulder. And the scientists noticed that when a mother is ill, certain clusters of cells would go to the area of sickness, and those cells would fight off disease or sickness. Guess what cells those were? Yes, the cells of your children. Whether that child is even here or not, the child's cells are still fighting to save the life of the mother. Now let's apply that through Jesus and Mary. For 9 months, Jesus was in Mary and still continued in her body. Mary was a walking tabernacle. Jesus, still alive in her body, uses her to crush the head of Satan. And why we call her the terror of demons, the conqueror of all heresies, and why we need her so much today, Satan hates Mary as she is the bookends of history from Genesis 3 to Revelation 12. Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the dragon, has been attacking all that try to be her children. Satan hates her, and all here who love Jesus and Mary, because she is the creature so exalted, so humble, living tabernacle of God, bringing light into the world through Jesus, and without her, we're in the dark. Let's take it a step further. Remember how those cells will fight for the life of the mother? Well, because we are born in sin, the fruit of that is that we all die. The church has never technically defined how Mary made the transition into heaven. She did not die if she had no sin. She did not decay like you and me, because if she had, even science says, if she had the living cells of God Almighty in her body, how could she possibly experience death? She has divine cells in her. God himself would never allow his dear mother to become corrupted and to become to decay and to have worms and whatnot consume her body. Mary is holy, set aside, pattern of the church. This is why also the church can never die. One, because Jesus said so, but two, because the church is patterned off the Immaculate One. She can never be overcome. She can never be conquered. The devil can never take her. She is the pattern. This is amazing stuff. God loves you so much that he shares this mother with you. To be your mother, take refuge in her in your particular situation and trust and consecrate yourself and your children to her as parents. You have those parental rights. Give your children the Blessed Virgin Mary. Stop now and pray with priest and for priest. Mary, I give myself and my children to you. I am their parents by flesh. but spiritually, you are our mother. In the order of grace, please, please take them. Take my husband. Take my children. I give to you. He has given so much, and she can work wonders. She can change hearts, families, dioceses, seminaries, convents, the Vatican, and hierarchy of the Catholic Church. She has taken a sinner like me, who was into money, sex, and power, and headed to hell, and changed me to die for myself, to warn her children, and to take a vow of poverty and a vow of chastity to be used in my life to glorify her son, to bring souls to Jesus, to honor and venerate her, and to defend the bride of Christ, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, and the immutable deposit of faith in scripture and tradition. Jesus chose to humble himself and be born of a virgin as she had extreme humility. Be it done to me. I will add quickly to your arsenal for you and your family from saints. I have some things that were used by saints before they became saints to teach a perfect love. One, to consecrate the Sacred Heart of Jesus to the Sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary. Both should be used by every lay person all the way to the Pope. And if even one will raise their hand after I tell you, some toes may be stepped on, but we should be ashamed if we don't do this for the souls in our care all the way around the world in our Catholic schools.
Amen. Kathy, what do you think of that, what you just shared? What do you think of that?
I think of that when I say the Hail Mary and I'm thinking of a pound and it's getting on his head. And then I know that if you say a Hail Mary in Latin, then it's like a sledgehammer to it.
It's what? Say that again.
The exorcist, if you follow what they say, many times they say we were praying the rosary, but the moment we started saying it in Latin, the Hail Mary, that's when the demon left. It's very efficacious in Latin.
Oh, yeah.
Well, guys, it's very powerful. I think there should be tears all over the world that heard you read that, Kathy, you know, when they see the connection between their earthly mother and their heavenly mother with Jesus, you know, and no matter where you are, once you've been conceived by your mother, that you have cells that fight for your mother for the rest of their life. And that's just remarkable. And how anybody can see these things that they've proven by science.
Well,
so many people are seeing.
I mean, I got a story that kind of lines up with that. I was like 3,000 miles away from my mother, and they had just opened this doctor's office like a week or two ago. My mother was, 3,000 miles away for like the last 2 years. And I got injured. And as they're wheeling me in the door to this brand new facility, the woman at the desk held up the phone and asked me if it was me and said my mother was on the phone. She got a premonition to dial a number because she knew I was hurt. So, yeah. In your shoulder? Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
Is that why they kind of like to throw salt over their shoulder, you know, that tradition?
Yeah,
you know, you throw salt over your... Cause salt,
I don't know, but...
We are the salt of the earth.
That wasn't the only time she did that. You know, I remember throughout my life there were several occasions where I needed a lifeline and she appeared out of the blue, hundreds of miles from out of the clear blue. Showed up with an army of people one time, all of them with badges and guns. It was great. So, and I had absolutely no contact with her, no way of getting in touch with her. And there she is. So, yeah, mom's rock.
Yeah. You know, Greg, earlier today, you did pray with me, you know, as we pray for priests, children. And so I thank you for joining with me in that. Thank you there, Greg.
Always. Always, always. And we said stop and pray. So stop and pray the Hail Mary in Latin, if you would, Kathy.
Nomini Patris Filius Spiritui Sancti. Ave Maria, gratia plena Domini tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen.
Well, that was definitely a skilled hammer against the head of Satan.
Now, a question that I have for you guys, was that real, or was that Memorex, or was that real? Was that recorded? That was real,
no,
or was it recorded?
I believe that was her.
How can you tell the difference?
She coughed right before. She cleared her throat right before.
Oh, okay.
All right, Kathy, am I right?
Yeah, it was real. You know what's
there
funny?
You go.
I sing these gigs. I go to these parties, and I sing these gigs, and they pay me money. And as a matter of fact, I've been taking all the money and buying meat for my children, like taco cogs and whatnot. But anyway, it doesn't matter if it's a bar or winery or party or whatever. I can stop and sing the Ave Maria in the smack dab middle of it, and the whole place will go quiet and look at me. And then as soon as I'm done, let's go back to what I was doing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I keep
that
Ave Maria right in the middle of all that stuff. And people ask for it. They're like, I know you can sing that. Would you sing it? And I'm like, yeah.
Well, that is beautiful.
We need more people that can do that, by the way. You know, I mean, a lot of this spot where it's real violence, if somebody just broke out with a Latin Hail Mary, I bet you would catch some people off guard that might change their... I mean, the demons are going to split out of them. Then once the demons are gone, they got no reason to be violent and crazy. You know, maybe that's the weapon we need.
A lot of people don't even realize what the Ave Maria is, and they just stop and they just absorb it, not knowing that it's Christian, Catholic, it's the Hail Mary. They don't know that. And they're just like, oh, that's so beautiful.
The demons know what it is.
No, yeah, it's
the demons possessing these people, making them act crazy. I mean, we've descended into bizarro world, it seems, and I truly believe that if we had
more of that out there,
the demons would run. They're around.
Well, they do
Trump,
run.
Remember when Trump
when you pray
had
the rosary.
Remember when President Trump had the Ave Maria thing there at the White House?
Yeah.
Remember that?
And the
it was
world
at the
was
White
at
House.
Peace.
Yeah.
And the
world,
world was at
peace.
Peace.
Yeah.
Maybe we need more of that.
St. Vincent of Paul said that when you invoke the name of the Blessed Virgin Mary, when you're tempted, the devil will come and the devil will flee. He will run.
Yeah.
So.
That was my granddaughter's first birthday today. And she's named Ava Marie. And I say, Ava, Ava, Ava Maria. I say all the time.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
It is. I just love it.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Cutest little thing.
And Kathy, is everybody okay from that prison riot?
Yeah, we didn't break out in a whole riot, but that they had 3 stabbings in like just in 3 weeks, so it was pretty rough over there for a while. Because when he took that job, they said, "Oh yeah, it's been a long time since we had problems." And he's just a 20-year-old kid, you know. And so we were scared. but he's okay.
That happened live on Deeper Truth when you were here, and you had to run because you had to deal with that problem, didn't you?
My daughter was. She came in here and she started. She was very upset. I had to go calm her down.
I love you all. You all are in my prayers, and I've got to step away tonight. Love you all. God bless you.
All right. Well, then,
keep each other in prayer.
Doc and Greg, thank you. Now, Jesus, he loves stringed instruments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ivory palaces, stringed instruments makes him glad. So may we make him glad as we close for tonight. Thank you all out there in Deeper Truth Land. Good night, Kathy. Good night, Doc.
Good night. Good night, Doc.
Heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor chord, and the major lift. The baffled king composing.
And that was so beautiful. Thank you, everybody. God bless you all out there. We'll see you tomorrow.